Thank you very much. Good to be here this evening. I almost stopped in at the cadets as I was on my way because as I was driving by, I caught a glimpse of their slogan up there on the wall, "Get more out of life." And I thought, oh, that must be the church there then. But I realised as I stopped and looked in, it was the cadet hall. So here I am. I found the right place anyway, so good to be here with you this evening. I was hoping to look at Matthew chapter 20, just looking at a parable told by Jesus from verses 1 to 16. And we can share on this parable together this evening. So Matthew chapter 20. And verses 1 to 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "Friend, I have not been unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I give you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is God's word. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to come under your word this evening, and we pray that you would help us to apply this to our lives, that you would speak to us whatever we're facing in our lives and bless us from the very words of Jesus himself as he told this parable to teach something significant about the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I wonder how you look back on the year 2016. We're in January, of course, just about still in January. For one commentator, they said that 2016 was the year of the political earthquake. And for many more, it will be a year that is difficult to forget because of two main events, Brexit and the election of Donald Trump. Now, whether you're a Brexiteer or even a Trumpeteer or neither, I think one thing that we can say is that these two events were so unexpected that they will live on for many years to come. The pollsters got it wrong, the commentators got it wrong, and even the ever hopeful Nigel Farage at one point got it wrong as well. You see, we know that when something unexpected occurs, even if you were one of those people who wanted it to happen, the outcome is imprinted on your mind in an unforgettable way. We can look back on unexpected events, perhaps from 20 years ago, and we can remember them as if they took place just last week. Well, we have here a parable with an unexpected outcome, a story that's told to imprint on our minds something significant about God, which is that in God's kingdom, many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. That unexpected truth is one that Jesus points out in chapter 19, verse 30, just before our parable, and in verse 16, just at the close of the parable. So in the parable itself, we're perhaps expecting the unexpected. It's a story about workers in a vineyard. Often that's a popular Old Testament theme referring to God's people serving within God's kingdom. We have an owner who's keen to reap for the harvest and who seems to represent God himself. We have workers arriving at different points in the day. And the unexpected twist comes in verse 9 when the owner pays those who work for 1 hour the same as those who worked all day. The point is clear. God's provision and God's gifts are dispensed according to the word of his promise and his grace, rather than upon a gradient that we might create and measure ourselves and others by. And if that's the case when it comes to the gift of salvation and the giving of his Son, he is equally fair across the board. That's whether you're a latecomer to the faith or if you've been a Christian for 50 years. That's how the first can be last and the last can be first. Now, that's not a reason to delay or to hold off in coming to God, but it is to show that when it comes to God's economy of salvation, he is not a businessman like Donald Trump. He's not an MP round the table at Brussels negotiating the best deal so that he can bless in an appropriately measured way. Instead, he pours out in Christ because he has promised to do so for those who enter his kingdom and take part in his work. However, in our parable, this is perhaps what leads to a second unexpected twist. Perhaps not the main twist in the parable, but as a reader who's familiar with the story and who knows this already about God, it may come as a surprise that the original workers who have been part of the enterprise all along don't realise what's going on. They don't actually know their master. And that's where I want to focus in the time that we have this evening. I'd like to do a build-up and a breakdown, if you like. I spent many years working in the exhibition industry when I was younger, and my life circulated around building up exhibition stands and then a few weeks later just breaking them back down again. Well, I wanted to do a build-up to that moment in verse 9 in the parable and think about what these workers in the story have missed along the way. And then I want to break down the reasons why. Because I think for many people who are familiar with this parable, that's probably where the main lessons lie for the Christian life, because we become familiar with the parables, don't we? Okay, so let's build up then. So in verses 1 and 2, we firstly meet a master who is portrayed firstly as a man who provides purpose. This is his vineyard, his kingdom in verse 1. And by going out early in the morning to hire men to work, he is characterised as someone who seeks others and gives purpose by including people in the work that he's doing. Of course, this parable reflects a business arrangement, and you could press the picture too far, I think, if you suggested the guy was doing the owner a favour, which is sometimes how we feel about our own employment. But actually, it's the owner doing the worker a favour, not the other way round. So the owner of the vineyard provides purpose in his kingdom to someone who would possibly just be hanging around all day without direction and without cash to take home at night. Now, I don't know how far we would want to press the point, but a number of years ago, when I was younger again, I travelled to Australia and I went through a phase where I became a bit restless and agitated whilst I was out there, a bit uneasy. And it took a while to register that probably the main reason why that was the case was because for a long period, every day was kind of like a holiday, really. And what I was actually looking for was for some work, something to do. Because having something To do gives direction, it gives purpose to human beings. And it is the primary way that God provides for the next day. Perhaps it's why the Bible speaks so highly of work. So if we get that from secular work, then there's an even greater purpose that comes from kingdom work. So this master, who seems to represent God, is characterized as someone who gives people purpose in his kingdom. Then we have verses 3 and 4, where we see more of what we've just seen when the master is portrayed as a man who gives generously. So he's already providing purpose. Now he's giving generously. In verse 3, about the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. His generous activity is observed in the fact that he finds others in need of work, and he services the need. By now it's 9 o'clock, so the day is underway, and his generosity continues past the point of clocking.